Wow, we have certainly worshiped today. God is so good, and I'm so grateful for how God spoke through Sharon Sicaro today. That's really what it's all about, is God changing lives. And what God has done in her life, God can do in all our lives. It's the God we serve, and it's the reason we're celebrating Christmas, is because Jesus is that powerful, and it's such a joy to hear that kind of powerful testimony. Christmas is almost here. Everybody ready for Christmas to be here? All right. That's not very much excitement, but that's okay. I get it. Christmas just carries sort of this inevitability about it. And there's just so much to it that can be pretty challenging. There's the shopping. There's the stress. There's all the social events. It's just kind of inevitable. There's just no stopping it, especially now with it being just a few days away. There's just truly no stopping it. How many of you have at least one more shopping trip, one more trip to the mall to make? All right, wow. How many of you haven't started shopping this year? Oh boy, there's a lot of hands that just went up. It's going to be a really interesting week for you guys. Some of you have a spouse or a significant other, and they'll say something to you like, I just don't need anything this year. I just want to be with you. You complete me. They'll tell you something like that, and some of you might be crazy enough to believe that. And Christmas is just going to be really, really miserable for you. The whole shopping process just seems to bring out the worst, the craziness in people. I heard about one shopper. This is a true story. One shopper that was extremely excited about purchasing a new widescreen TV, a 70-inch, one of those guys, big guys. But he drove home, leaving his 2-year-old son at the store. He's going to be sleeping on the sofa till about 2019, I think, something like that. But there is just no stopping it. It is inevitable. And speaking of family, some of you have family coming to visit this time of year. Christmas is this funny season where relatives you don't like just come to your house, right? And they just stay there with you. Some of you, they're here with you right now. Don't look at them. Others of you are traveling to see family. You're traveling far away somewhere to see family in other places. And if you're married, it might mean conversations about whose family you're going to see. Is it your family or my family? I once heard another pastor talk about this. He and his wife did a very interesting thing. They split up the holidays for the whole year. They just sat down and they wrote them all out and they said, okay, your family can have these and my family can have these. But the question was, whose family would get which holidays? And here's the list that his wife came up with. Her family would get Easter, Memorial Day, July 4th, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And you're thinking, okay, what's left? Well, his family would get Groundhog Day, Earth Day, Arbor Day, Flag Day, and Halloween. And here's the thing. He just went with it. And he's been a happily married man ever since then. There's just so much to Christmas, and it kind of feels inevitable. It is just days away, and there is no stopping it. And all this can sort of explain a darker side of Christmas, the difficulty of it. According to a recent poll, 45% of Americans said that they would rather just skip Christmas altogether. In other words, almost half of us would rather put a stop to it. We want things to go from Thanksgiving to New Year's. We just want to bypass all this season and all that goes with it. Why? Well, I don't think it's about the busyness. We can be busy all year. And I don't think it's just about family drama. Family drama can happen anytime. I don't think it's just about travel or stress or shopping per se. I think it's something about something deeper beneath the surface of our lives, something that we actually try to bury down and not attend to, something that all the noise of the Christmas season can just sort of cover up. And it's the silence. It's the silence. Some of you might be thinking, silence? Christmas is the least silent time of the year. But I'm not talking about physical silence or audible silence. I'm talking about God's silence. I'm talking about prayers that you may have prayed this year, and there wasn't an answer that you really thought was an answer. I'm talking about hopes that you had this year, hopes that went unfulfilled. I'm talking about a difficulty or a disappointment that can go along with this time of the year, whether it's a job or a relationship or a loved one or a difficult circumstance. And the Christmas season can just sort of feel like there's this extra stress, this extra pain that's all around that. I'm talking about the sense that just maybe there is no sign, no reason to think that 2016 is going to be any better than 2015. And don't get me wrong, I love Christmas. I love singing Christmas songs. I love everything about it. Christmas is this awesome time of the year. But Christmas can also be a very difficult time of the year, because it's a time when we often wonder, deep in the recesses of our heart, is God really there? Is God really listening? Does God really care? Does God really know what's going on down here in my life and in your life? So I want to talk about it, even when Christmas is almost here. And there's still so much of us, still so many things we have to do, still so many events to go to, still so many things to buy, and still all the stress of Christmas. But I want to talk about the silence. I want to talk about the silence. We've been in this series on waiting. Nobody likes to wait. No one likes to wait. But research shows that even really long waits become tolerable if what? If we know how long. That's really the key to it, if we know how long. In other words, as long as there's information about how long the wait is going to be, as long as there is no silence, studies show that people will tolerate waiting, even really long periods of waiting, if they just know how long it's going to last. The real pain of waiting is not having to wait. It's not knowing how long. Isn't that true in your life? Isn't that why it's so difficult? Some of you are going to go through a very real-life version of this week. When you're sitting outside your in-law's house, and you're in the car, and you're preparing emotionally and psychologically and spiritually to go into the house. And there's this question that you're going to really want to ask your spouse. But you know if you do it that you're going to get that look. But you just have to have the answer to this one question. Anybody know what it is? Amen. How long are we going to be in there? Don't ask that question. But that's the real pain of it, isn't it? The real pain isn't waiting. It's not knowing how long. Think about just for a moment how true this is in your life. Maybe for you, it's about a relationship or the desire for one. Maybe for you, it's about reconciliation with a loved one, where there's just been difficulty and pain, perhaps for years and years. Maybe it's about finding a new job or making a transition in a career. Maybe for you, it's just about moving into better circumstances because this year has just not been a very good one. Maybe for you, it's about healing from pain or finding freedom from stress or worry or grief. And it's not just that you're waiting. It's that as you look ahead and you just don't know when change is going to come. So very true of life, isn't it? And it's been true of human life since the very beginning. We find this all throughout Scripture. The psalmist put it this way. He says in Psalm 6, verse 3, he says, "My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?" Anybody else here ever prayed that prayer? I sure have. And I imagine that many of you have, maybe today, maybe this morning. And in life, there is no countdown clock. There'd be so nice if there was, but there's not. There's no taking a number so you know that when your number's called, you know that your time's up. There's not that in life. There's no way to know if or when the change will come, whether that's tomorrow or next month or next year. And sometimes, let's be honest about it, sometimes there's just silence. And it changes us, doesn't it? It impacts us. I recently read about a woman named Melanie. Another true story, a woman named Melanie who lost her newborn baby giving birth. That is an unspeakable loss regardless of the circumstances, but this was particularly tragic for her and her husband. Earlier in her life, she'd been diagnosed with a condition that made it unlikely that she could ever become pregnant. But after years of trying, they finally got pregnant. They called it a miracle. They celebrated God's faithfulness until she lost her child. And then the miracle became a tragedy. And according to Melanie, God went silent. There was no new miracle, no immediate relief, no sign of change on the horizon. And it changed her. Listen to how she described what happened to her faith along the way. She said, "I used to be a fired up Christian who poured out her faith, but now I feel nothing towards God. My husband and I, we used to be so close, but now we're almost strangers. I used to love to read the Bible and to pray, but now I find it aggravating. I just feel dead." These are the kind of stories that exist beneath the Christmas season. These are the real life situations going on in real people's lives, even amidst all the decoration, even amidst all the cheer. And maybe your story is different from her story, but maybe you're familiar with that kind of tension. Maybe you're living through it right now. There's the man in the Bible named Job who lost his family, his health, his livelihood. He lost everything. Listen to what he initially said to God. And to me, these are profound words. Job says, I cry out to you, O God. I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. He's calling out to silence. He's calling out, God, hey, God, where are you? Why don't you answer? And that's what it can feel like. And some of you have prayed that very prayer. And that's the silence that I want to look at with you today. And what I think is so profound about Christmas, what I think is so profound about the true Christmas story, if we actually look at it, not maybe all the stuff that we see about the Christmas season in movies and culture, but if you look at the real Christmas story, the real story takes place in the context of an extended season of God's silence. As many of you know, the Bible is divided into two main sections. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament ends with the book of Malachi. And the New Testament begins with a book called Matthew, which is where we first see the Christmas story. But what you may not know, what you may not realize, is that if you turn one page in your Bible, just that one page, it'll take a split second for you to turn from the last page of Malachi to the first page of Matthew. But in that one turn of a page, it represents over 400 years of human history. And in that 400 years, there was no gospel announced. There was no new word of the Lord revealed. There were no new scriptures inspired. For 400 years, God went completely silent. Silent. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable. Now think about this. Think about this between the testaments. How many times do you think people prayed and asked, where is God? How many times do you think that people in that season said, God, what are you doing? How many times do you think people asked from the depths of their soul, God, are you going to answer? God, are you even going to answer? That's the context of Christmas. That's what is happening in the days leading up to Christmas. That's where people are living at Christmas. The Christmas story is not just about one silent night. It's about something that happens during 400 years of silent nights. And then something happened. After 400 years in the context of silence and darkness and doubt and questions, with people living with stuff in their souls that they would not want to say in church about what they were thinking about God, in that context, something happened. So let's look at it together. Let's look at part of that account. This is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 12. If you have your Bible with you, Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Let's pray. Father, we continue to praise you this morning. And as we do, Lord, we truly seek your face. Father, in all likelihood, almost everybody here has gone through a silence like this or is going through a silence like this right now. Father, a part of our lives where it just seems like you're being completely silent. And we pray and we pray and we pray. But God, it seems like you are not there. God, we ask that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit this morning about what's really going on, about the God that you really are. And Father, so in those times of silence, Father, we can have encouragement. We can be lifted up. We can have hope. God, we look to you and we ask that you would speak. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. At Christmas, what we just read, we often call that good news. But the reason it's good news is not just because it breaks the silence of 400 years. It's because the Christmas story helps us to understand the silence. The Christmas story helps us to understand what God is doing in the silence. And perhaps the most important truth that we uncover in the Christmas story is that God's silence does not mean that God is absent. Please hear me on that. What the Christmas story most shows us is that God's silence does not mean that God is absent. But the place, I don't know about you guys, but the place I can so easily go to is to say, God, you're just not there. God, you just don't seem to care. God, you're far away. God, you must rather be with somebody else. But God's silence does not mean that God is absent. And part of the reason we know this is because what the angel says in Luke 2, verse 12, he says, "This will be a sign to you." And that may not sound like very much, but that phrase is loaded with biblical language. It points back to over 700 years before Christ came when a prophet named Isaiah wrote this. This is in Isaiah 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you," here comes that word, "the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." And Emmanuel, of course, is the Hebrew word that means God with us. The L at the end is God, and Emmanuel means with us. God with us. So 700 years before Jesus, long before this season of silence, the prophet Isaiah conveys, you need to know, going into whatever seasons of silence are ahead, you need to know that God is with you. God is with us. The reality is that Christmas is actually just confirming what has been true all along. Even if we're unaware, for whatever reason, even if we're completely unaware, God is with us, even if he seems silent. Do you know that? Think about the silence in your life right now. The silence that may be in a part of your life. Do you know that God is with you? I sometimes think that we can think about Christmas almost as if it's God's attempt to correct something about himself. Like he's been far away from or has been fed up with humanity. Or he's just been busy someplace else. And at Christmas, he sort of feels bad. So he shows up with some kind of good news. No, no, no. Jesus came to show us who God is, who he has been all along. He makes us aware of what maybe we have not been fully aware of, that our God, amazingly, is Emmanuel. That our God, incredibly, is God with us. That's who he is. That is a central part of his character. That's his name. And perhaps you have sometimes, maybe in the quiet of your heart, thought of God as sort of an absent landlord who shows up here and there, but when you need him, he's no place to be found. And maybe you felt that you've had a good reason for that. But the angel tells us a different story, that Jesus came to remind us that even in the darkness, even in the silence, our God is still Emmanuel. He is still the God who is with you. And that's what that sign means. That sign means God is still with you. That silence does not mean that God is absent. That silence that you're experiencing right now in your life, that does not mean that God is absent. And that silence is actually a sign that God is up to something bigger, something greater, something that you couldn't expect, something that you weren't even prepared for, something that you can't see yet. For 400 years, the people of God have been waiting, but God all the time had been working behind the scenes for just the right moment. And Christmas reminds us that God is always at work, even when we can't see it, and that he's going to show up when we least expect it. And very often, as the writer Bob Patterson puts it, what we see God doing is never as good as what we don't see. What we see God doing very often is never as good as what we don't see. In other words, the things he's doing behind the scenes, the things he's doing that we're not even aware of, the things he's doing that we just could not even expect. Think about the resurrection of Jesus for a moment. Nobody actually saw it. They saw Jesus put on a cross. They saw Jesus placed in a tomb. They saw the stone rolled away. They saw Jesus alive again. But the most amazing miracle of all time, Jesus coming alive, nobody saw it. What we see God doing is never as good as what we don't see. It's never as good as what he's doing behind the scenes, even in the silence, which means that God is at work in your life right now, even if you can't see it. Do you know that? Is that real for you? Would you claim that? That I know for sure that God is at work in my life, even in those parts of my life where I just can't seem to see it? And even if it hurts, and even if we don't want to hear it, the story of Christmas tells us that God is at work in your life, even in this moment, even if you can't see it. Those of you who have been waiting for God to show up, you've been praying and praying and praying, and you're not sure that God is listening. You see no tangible evidence of it. God is at work, even if you can't see it. Those of you who are grieving and who are hurting, maybe it was the end of a relationship or the loss of a loved one or something that has just been difficult to take on in your soul and you're discouraged and you cannot see a way forward. God is at work even if you cannot see it. Some of you have a friend or a loved one who you've written off as just so far from God or so out of reach or too hostile to the faith. And so you stop talking with them about the faith. You've stopped encouraging them to come to church. Why? Because you can't see it. But you know what? God is at work in them, even if you can't see it. So don't write them off. Keep talking. Keep encouraging them. Invite them to the Christmas Eve service. Keep praying. Some of you have a friend or a loved one who is struggling. Right now you see them every day. They're suffering. And it can be a difficult thing to watch sometimes, can it? Because it can tempt you to believe that God isn't doing anything because you can't see it. But the truth that the Christmas story tells us is that God is at work even when we can't see it. The prophet Isaiah put it this way. He's talking about God here. He writes in Isaiah 55, verse 8, he says, this is talking of God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And in this verse, God is conveying, you can trust me. You can trust me even in the silence, even in the darkness, even when you don't have an answer, when all your logic and all your rationale and all your reason says there's no way out, there's no real hope, there's no possibility of change. God is saying, you can still trust me. His thoughts aren't yours. He has different ways than you do. But God is not limited by what you think is possible. That's the Christmas story. Even in the silence, God is not limited by what we believe is possible. That's the Christmas story, and here's the thing. This applies to all of us, every one of us here right now, no matter how messy or broken your life might seem. Sometimes we can be tempted to believe that God's silence is a sign that he's given up on us, that maybe our lives are too broken, we're too sinful, we're too messed up, that he's moved on to be with better people. But just remember who was first given the good news of Christmas. It was not priests or scribes or pastors or religious leaders. It's unbelievable. Who did it first come to? The angel came to shepherds, to people who in that day were mistrusted left and right. They were assumed to be corrupt. They were assumed to be unclean. Christmas did not come to perfect people with perfect families. It didn't come to people with great resumes or religious backgrounds. These shepherds didn't send out Christmas cards with their little dog in a Santa outfit. And any of you who do that, please stop. God hates that. Christmas came to the most unlikely, unexpecting, fearful, distrusting, doubting, despairing people. People who were on the outside of the religious system. People outside the church. People outside the temple. People outside all of that that was supposed to be of God. Into the darkness. Into the silence. To people who were thought to be out of reach. To people who were tempted to think the reason God is silent is because I'm beyond saving. That's exactly where he showed up. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you think that the reason God is silent in your life is because you've convinced yourself that you're beyond reach, that you're beyond hope, that you're beyond salvation. Maybe it's pain from something you've done. Maybe it's how you think you compare to other people around you whose lives seem to be much more put together. It's in that place that God breaks the silence. It's in that place that God finally, unexpectedly, after oh so long, shows up. And those shepherds were not just given a sign. They were given a promise. The angel said, here it is. The angel said, you will find him. That's a promise. Do you remember that line? This will be the sign, it says. You will find him. That's not just a saying. That's a promise that if they go looking, if they're willing to receive him, if they're willing to believe in him as their Lord and hold on, believing even in the silence, even in the darkness, if they're willing to risk it all, there's a promise that they are going to find him. And that's his promise. That's God's promise to you this Christmas, that you can still find him. Do you know that? You can still find him in the darkness, in the doubt, in the struggle. At work or in your family or through the divorce or through the heartbreak or through the loss or through the grief, you can still find him. No matter how far from God you may feel, no matter how silent those nights may seem, when you least expect it, that's where we find him, because he's here, because that's who he is. There's a stanza in the old hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, that I think perhaps says it best. It says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. And guess what? There is no stopping him. And that's Christmas. want to go ahead and I have more to say, but I really feel the Holy Spirit leading me to just to go ahead and go into response. God has been speaking to us today. And I just want to, I feel like God has prompted me to ask all of us, how are you doing with that silence? I want to ask you just for a moment to think about your life, to think with God, to ask God to ask you to open up your life to you, and to think about the different areas of your life. I think most of us here today, if we were as transparent as Sharon Saccaro, that we would say, you know what, there's a certain part of my life where God seems really silent, and it's really painful. Maybe it's something in my life that I think is missing. Maybe it's somebody else in my family, somebody else in my life that is just painful, and it seems like God is silent there. How are you doing with that silence? What can we do, even as Christians sometimes? Sometimes as Christians even, we can despair. And this whole series we've been looking at, in those moments of silence, what even as believers, what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to take matters in our own hands. We'll say to ourselves, well, I guess God's not going to respond to this one. So I guess with this particular situation, if it's going to get better, I just need to take care of it myself. And when we do that, get ready for the tragedy. Get ready for the agony, because that will always lead to failure. And this is a real test of faith. This is probably the greatest test of faith that we're going to have, is that area of your life where you've been praying and praying and praying and God seems silent. The greatest test of your faith is going to be, how do you handle that silence? Is your faith going to fail and say, I got to take care of this myself? Or is your faith going to be real? Is your faith going to say, you know what? My God is so big that even if I can't hear him right now, even if I can't see him right now, I know that very often what he's doing when I can't see him is even better than what he can do when I can't see him. My God is that big. And I know that in his time, in his way, he will come through. He knows much better what's right for me than I do. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait with hope. I'm going to wait with joy, because I know how big my God is. I know how good he is. How are you doing with your silence? There may be some here today that you're ready to put your faith in Jesus Christ. No, not a better time than today and this fourth Sunday of Advent, this Christmas season, this Jesus who is Emmanuel, who is God with us, who wants to do life with you. If you've never done that, you can put your faith in him today. If you want to pray to do that, we'll be here at the front. We would love to pray with you about that. There may be others here that God is leading you to be a part of this church family, where we encourage each other and we support each other. We're not perfect, far from it, but we love the Lord here. And if God's leading you to be a part of this church, it's going to be a great Sunday. As the music starts, please come forward. We can sit down and talk about how you can join this church. But for most of you, you know, when you leave these doors, life's going to get very busy right away. And I just want to ask you, if you'll use these just next few minutes to really talk with God, and just to acknowledge to him, say to him, God, you already know that part of my life where it seems so silent, where it seems so dark, where I don't seem to be hearing from you. God, would you speak to me? Would you remind me how big you are, how awesome you are? Would you remind me, God, that would you help my faith? Even if it seems like you're not speaking, even if it seems like you're not there, help me to know that you are there, that you are God Emmanuel, that you are God with me, and that I can get through this with your help. I can get through this. Please use this time to talk to the Lord. If you'd like prayer, we'll be here at the front. However God leads you to respond, please do so at this time.